Today I want to, preach on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It's a very important scripture. It says, without holiness, no one shall see God. Without holiness, no one shall see God. And if you don't see God, that means Gehinnom. That means Hades. That means Sheol. That means hell. That means the lake of fire. Listen, without holiness, no one shall see God. Can I hear an amen here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's very important to understand this, because hell is real. How many of you ever saw the movie Gone with the Wind? You remember when Scarlett O'Hara and Clark Gable are in that little buggy, and they're racing, Atlanta is burning. Remember Sherman? Remember the Civil War? He burned Atlanta. And what they did at the movie lot is they took some old scenery and they set it on fire. And they filmed that. And when you watch that scene, you see fire in the background. It's just fire, fire, fire. Let me tell you something. In your mind, there ought to be a background of fire all the time. When you look at your grandchildren, when you look at the stranger that is getting his mail in the mail room, you need to see that background, the lake of fire, the fire that is real. And I want to talk to you about that fire today. It's in the Tanakh. It's in the last verse of Isaiah, where it talks about Deraon. But in Daniel, it says Deraon Olam, not just reproach and abhorrence, but eternal shame and contempt. And that Olam means forever. So we're talking about fire forever. Now, when they shot that film, Clark Gable went home that day, and the fire was extinguished, and that was the end of it. But that's not the way it is if you die without Yeshua HaMashiach. If you die and you don't know him, if you are impenitent on your deathbed and you're just running out the clock and you're not looking for Yeshua HaMashiach, you will go to the lake of fire. And there's a lot of people who are impenitent. And when they get to the end of their life and they're laying in intensive care, and they're seeing the little indicator on the heart machine getting fainter and fainter, they just run out the clock. They don't look for the Lord. It says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, but they're not looking for him. And they are impenitent. What do I mean when I talk about repentance? Yeshua said, without repentance, you will all alike perish. Teshuvah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about turning from your life. Listen, when you see the thief, the guy hanging on the tree, what does he say? He says, we deserve death. In other words, we deserve to go to hell, but not him, not him. Yeshua, remember me when you come into your kingdom. King Mashiach, remember me. And you know what he said? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Now think about this for a minute. Most people, if you try to preach about hell, immediately they will say, look, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. This is not the way the God of spoke. The God of said, look at us. We deserve to die. He's talking to the other Goliath, that's abusing Yeshua. You see, it wasn't just the ones around the tree who were, they would say, come down, if you're the Savior. He saved others, he can't save himself. And they were spitting and making fun and mocking. And here's this other Goliath, he's doing the same thing. But here's someone preaching to him over here, another Ganef, and he's saying, that's me and you. That's those people down there, including the Kohen Gadol and all religious people, including even Nicodemus, who was not born again. We deserve to die. We deserve the second death in the lake of fire. But not him. Now you see, that's repentance. When you feel convicted, the book of Hebrews is very clear. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Harden not your heart. When I was a little boy, I had this relative, and she was an adulteress. And it says, her feet go down to hell. You remember that, Proverbs chapter 5? Her feet lay hold of hell. I come from a group of people who were going to hell. You might say, I am a brand plucked from the burning. I'm like a member of the James gang, or a member of the Dalton gang, or a member of the Pretty Boy Floyd gang. And I was snatched from the fire, because I come from a stock of adulterers, fornicators, and drunkards. And when I was 5 years old, I was in a tavern, and I was looking at a relative who was committing adultery with the bartender. And as a little boy, I was not supposed to understand all this, and I didn't understand all of it, but the Lord gave me little snapshots, things to think about that were filed away in my mind. And I know why the Lord sent me to her, because it says, a little child shall lead them. And she knew that my mother was not like her, that my mother had gotten born again, was sending her little son, me, to the house of God to learn the Bible, and that I was, there was something about me that was a little different. You know, a little child is purer. A little child is sort of still in the garden, hasn't really been on the devil's bait yet, if you know what I mean. And I remember I was in this store. We had forgotten the cereal, and she said, here, take the money and run in there and get it. And I went into the store, and I was looking at this one box of cereal, and it had something demonic on it. It was like a witchcraft mask, and you could cut it out and use string and put it on your face, and you could run around the house with this thing on. And I was looking at that, and while I was looking at that devilish thing, it's almost like Satan entered her heart, and she hardened her heart. And it was like, I don't want children. I don't want this kid visiting me. I want to get rid of this kid. I don't care what my sister's doing. I don't want to go that way. I'm going to keep my boyfriend. I'm going to keep my tavern, my lifestyle, my fornication, my adultery, and all my wickedness. And you know what? 2 years later, 3 years later, she was gone. And it says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. And people all over the country are hardening their heart toward the things of God. And they're saying, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in it. I don't want to hear about hell. But you know what? Yeshua said, today, you, sir, who say that you deserve to go to hell, you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. He didn't tell anybody else that. He gave the assurance of salvation to someone who was convicted and contrite. And that's what you have to be saved. You have to feel like you deserve hell. And you know what? The thing is, Freud said that there's the superego, the ego, and the id. But the Bible says that there's the mind that's regenerated. And it can be like the mind of Mashiach, because the scriptures are in that mind. But then there's the carnal nature. And then there's the eye in the middle. And it says, Lord, give me an undivided heart to fear your name. Because, you see, I don't want to be staggering between two opinions. I don't want to be double-minded. It says you must hate your old life. You've got to hate your carnal nature. You've got to realize you have a carnal nature, and you've got to despise it and hate it. And if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You have to understand that you have hell to shun and heaven to gain, and you are your own worst enemy. And somehow or another, this has to be revealed to you. And for different people, it's at different times. With Peter, it was when he was with the Kohen Gadol's courtyard people, and the little girl at the fire said, hey, wait a minute, I recognize your accent. You're one of them. And that spirit of fear came on him, and he said, no, and he started cursing. And cursing. He was acting like the old Peter, as if he had never confessed the Lord. And he was backsliding. And Yeshua had warned him. He said, "Oh, don't worry, you can always count on me. I'm going to be your right-hand man no matter what." And Yeshua said, "Today, he says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And that rooster has to crow for you. You have to realize that you are a sinner. You have to feel bad about it. Listen, Peter went out and he cried. He wept. He felt terrible. He realized he was a sinner and that he had fallen short of the glory of God. And you've got to do that. And if you don't do that, you're not repenting. And if you're impenitent and you're on your deathbed and you're just running out the clock and you're impenitent and you're not looking for the Lord, then when you close your eyes in death, you are going to go to Gehinnom. You're going to go to the lake of fire. You're going to go to the Esh Olam. This is what the Tanakh says, and this is what the rest of the scriptures say, and there's no way to get around it. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, because it's very important that you have, you got to be like Clark Gable. That fire, Atlanta on fire, has got to be in the background of your mind. And if it isn't, then you're not really alert. I want us to open our Bibles to the story about the tares. And this is in Matthew chapter 13. And I want you to see about this story, because the tares are the weeds, and the weeds and the wheat are together until the end. And Yeshua said it. He said it like this. He said the kingdom of heaven, the Malchut Hashemayim, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." Now, notice, the Son of Man, the Mashiach, the world, the children of the kingdom, the children of the wicked one, the devil, the end of the world, the angels, the gathering of the two, the weeds on the one hand, the wheat on the other hand, these are all literal. These are not symbolic. These are not metaphorical. And therefore, when we see the tares or the wheat or the weeds being burned, we should also take them literally. So when someone tells you, "I don't believe in a literal hell," then what they're saying is, "Well, I believe that Yeshua is a liar," when he gives us this parable of the tares in Matthew chapter 13. They're saying, "I know better. I have insider information. I'll tell you the way it really is." Well, friend, I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe hearsay from some skeptic or some scoffer. Because I've got too many people in my family who are already in hell. They're already in hell. Booze took them to hell. Fornication and adultery took them to hell. All kinds of debauchery took them to hell. And, excuse me, this is a place of spiritual and emotional torment. It's for the people who are finally, irrevocably impenitent. We lost a family member very recently, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with him. And he began to feel contrite and convicted. And he began to think, "Okay, I haven't been a good husband. Okay, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life." And he was an old man looking back on his life with regret. And this is called godly sorrow. And this was what the Lord, His Holy Spirit started to doing. Before the Holy Spirit sent a worker there to lead him to the Lord, the Holy Spirit brought a spirit of repentance on him. And this wonderful gift of repentance. And when you feel sorry for your sins, this is a glorious thing that God has done in your otherwise wicked heart. And we can't assume that we're just going to have this opportunity always. When you are repentant, when you're sorry for your sins, then you need to instantly obey the Lord. You need to seek the Lord while He can be found. He can be found by a heart of repentance. But it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and to fall into the hands of an angry God. If there's one thing you need to be thinking about 24/7, it's hell. Because if somehow by the grace of God you escape the flames, hallelujah, you are a fortunate person. And basically, I've been talking about the penitent thief. And you know, this penitent thief, he was very important in the early Kehillah of Mashiach. Because so much was said about him, and you got to sort of read between the lines to see it. But when Paul says, it's not I who live, but Mashiach who lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And when he talks about that he isn't the one living anymore. It's not him. He's dead. He says, I have been nailed to the tree with Mashiach. There's this one man that we know who was nailed to the tree with Mashiach, and that's the penitent thief. And Yeshua himself said, today you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. So I want to follow that penitent thief. I want to stay close to him. I want to think like he thought. And remember what he said. He said, we deserve to die. In other words, we deserve hell. We deserve it. But not him. Hallelujah. Not him. He doesn't deserve it. And then he called upon him. He cried out to him. You see, when you are repenting, you're looking at your wicked life and all the lost opportunities and all the things that you could have done you didn't do, and all the mistakes and all the ways that your wicked heart was filled. You remember Ananias? What did Peter say to him? He said, has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Ruach HaKodesh? You know, he was sort of like Ahan. Remember Ahan? He thought he could live a double life, and he thought he could put the Lord to the test. And he said, you know I'm not supposed to have this stuff, but I'm going to hide it under my bed. And who will know? As if he could mock God. Sometimes the devil does a demonic parody. I mean, here's Barnabas. He sells all that he has. He puts it at the apostles' feet, all the money. Then along comes Ananias and Sapphira, and they say, oh, everybody was saying about how great Barnabas was. Maybe we should get some attention. So I'll tell you what, just between me and you, wifey, we will sell, but we won't give all. We will just lie and say that we gave all. So I don't know how much the property was. Let's say it was $100,000 and he pocketed $80,000 and he put $20,000 at the feet of the apostles. And he thought he could get away with that. And basically what he did was he put the Lord to the test. He had a form of religion, but he denied its power. There are people who have a form of religion. They want to say, look, no matter what you've ever done, all you got to do is go into the water and everything is fine. Well, we do believe that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you are justified. You have peace with God. We believe that because this word justification, it's like a forensic term. It's like, remember O.J. Simpson? He got off. Remember Barabbas? He got off. But you see, getting off is not the end of the story. It says, without holiness, no one will see God. Now, the thing is, yes, I want favor in God's courtroom, and I want justification. But once I become born again, I have to pick up my tree of self-sacrifice. I've got to carry my tree of self-sacrifice, and I've got to deny myself, and I have to hate my old life in this world, my old wicked life, and I've got to follow the Lord. And as I do that, I grow in sanctification. And if I don't grow in sanctification, remember O.J. Simpson? Now he's got another trial. And this time, they're probably going to put him in prison. And they might throw away the key. Because he's not a young man anymore. Who knows how long he might have to live? He might die in prison. And you see, you can't confuse justification and sanctification. Yes, you're justified freely by His grace. But having been justified, you must go on to holiness. You must pursue holiness. It says pursue peace, but then it says pursue holiness. That's something I got to chase. When I was a child, there was a dog. I had a dog named Jiggs, and this dog loved to chase cars. And one day, he got a little too close to the rear tire, and he got he got hit. And you know, we're chasing so many things. We're chasing the almighty dollar. We're chasing youth. We're chasing vanity. But basically, sooner or later, you're going to get hit if you chase those things. But the thing the Lord wants you to chase is holiness. Without holiness, no one will see God. And I want to talk to you about escaping the flames, because it's a fearful thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I'm talking about the place of torment. I'm talking about the place of torment for the wicked. I'm talking about, remember the rich man? It says he was in torment in Hades. The believer who goes to be with the Lord, he dies and he goes immediately to be with the Lord. But the one who dies impenitent and without calling on the Lord, the one who doesn't die like the repentant thief, but dies like the other thief, that one is going to go to the lake of fire. You see, while Yeshua was dying, there was a picture of humanity. There are those who are perishing, and there are those that are being saved. So you have the repentant Gonath, and you have the non-repentant Gonath. One is just running out the clock. He's not looking at Yeshua. The other one feels bad. He says, we deserve to die. We deserve the lake of fire for all the wickedness we've done. But not him. And then he called upon him. He called upon the Lord. Whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Hallelujah. The other one was just scoffing. And there are many people who say, Yushka! And they blaspheme him. And they make fun of him. Now, you will be forgiven if you blaspheme the Son of Man and feel bad about it and repent and turn to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, you will be thrown both soul and body into hell. Both soul and body. And it talks about a place of spiritual and emotional torment for the people who will not turn to the Lord. And it's a fearful thing that I'm talking about today. And I'm talking about holiness. Without holiness, no man will see God. And if you don't see God, that means you're going to see the other place. And I don't want that. And we've got to get this in our kishkes. We've got to get it down into our heart. We have to know, for I know that you, God, will bring me to death. Job chapter 30, verse 23. The Lord is going to bring me to death. I have a certain amount of days. They are numbered by the Lord. the hairs on my head are numbered, but my days are also numbered. In other words, the Lord is looking at the calendar, and he knows the day when I will go to him. And between now and then, what I've got to do is snatch as many people from the fire as I can and keep my eyes on Yeshua. Because the way one lives his life impacts his destiny. Can you say amen? The way you live your life, if you're pursuing Yeshua, if you're caught up with him now, you'll be caught up with him then. If you're thinking about him now, you'll be thinking about him then. But if you're not thinking about him, if you've turned away from him, then you're gonna lose out. So there's a monumental decision that you have to make. Now I want you to really study the book of Hebrews. Because in the book of Hebrews, he's basically preaching what I'm preaching right now. He's telling these people to stand fast in their faith. He's saying if you make poor decisions, it's going to lead to disastrous spiritual consequences. If you decide to go back to the old dead ways, the old self-righteous ways of having a form of religion but denying its power, not turning to the Lord, if you can't see that everything in Judaism is fulfilled in Yeshua, if you can't see that, if you can't see that he's greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than the Kohen Gadol, if you can't see that, if you don't turn to him, then what you're doing is you're moving away from the Lord. And see that you do not reject the one who speaks, chapter 12, verse 25. And we're talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. We're talking about his once for all sacrifice. Now we're getting close to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we're thinking about that at this time. I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. And I'm going to read this real quick. It's very clear. He's saying here that you can't believe for a while. You have to endure to the end. It says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Ruach HaKodesh, who have tasted the goodness of the Devar Hashem and the powers of the coming age. It is impossible if they fall away to be brought back to repentance because to their loss they have nailed to the tree the Zun von der Oibishter all over again, and have subjected him to public disgrace. And it's saying that land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and then produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of the Lord. But land that produces thorns and thistles, in other words, if you've heard the message over and over again, if you've sampled the goodness of the Lord, but you fall away, you're going to be punished. There's a terrible punishment coming. And believers can believe for a while and then stop believing. They can go to the house of the Lord for a while and then stop going to the house of the Lord. They can take abuse with Yeshua outside the camp by giving their testimony and preaching like I'm preaching right now, but then they can stop doing that. And look at Judas Iscariot. He believed for a while. He made a decision to follow the Lord for a while, but only for a while. It says then when persecution or it says the deceitfulness of riches, it describes Judas there. It says they believe for a while, but then when things get rough, they fall away. And the book of Hebrews is warning you, don't do that. Don't stop meeting with the believers. You need fiery preaching. You need to hear it every day. You need to pray. You need to get on your face in the Keilah and pray. You need to study the Word. You need to be in Bible school. And that's why we have this Bible school. That's why we have this little light post. This is why we do street preaching. This is why we got to get down to Brighton Beach and give out the Russian materials. This is why we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. Friend, this is not a time to backslide. Listen, people in America, they thought they could get along just fine with the abortion clinics running 24/7, 365, the little fetuses being thrown in a garbage can. They thought they could worship the almighty dollar and everything would just be fine. And then all of a sudden, Wall Street started to shake like an earthquake. And then these hurricanes started coming. And when one hurricane would finish, there would be another hurricane right behind it. And then when that hurricane finished, there would be another hurricane right behind that. And then everybody said, oh, it's the president's fault. Oh, the government can save us. They can bail us out. Friend, let me tell you something. The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. Each one of them has a reprisal. The Lord, you cannot fool around with the Lord. You have to realize who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the Lord of glory. Peter saw that. He saw that in the beginning. He said, depart from me, Lord, because I'm a sinner. He saw who he was dealing with. And all the Lord did on that day was just say, throw your net over on this side. But he understood who he was dealing with. At least he got a glimpse. And that's what I'm praying will happen to you, that you will get a glimpse of who we're dealing with here. The immoral woman, it says, her feet goes down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 5. We have a nation of fornicators. They go to the tattoo parlor, and then they go at home and sleep with their boyfriend. The destiny of those who end their lives in impenitence. It's a terrible thing. The way one's life goes, and without God, it's a terrible thing. And we need to repent. We've got to turn to the Lord. Because, friend, what if there is a hell? What if it's going to cost you something? Did you see those movies about the gangsters in the 20s? Did you see Pretty Boy Floyd spitting up blood, the sheriff standing over him? You could see them falling into the flames. Hell is real. And listen, I had a relative who married a bank robber. I come from people who, many of whom did go to hell already. I have just been, by the mercy of God, snatched from the fire. And I'm pleading with you. And I'm asking you today to turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord today. And turn to the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, and receive him. Because what is salvation? Salvation is being snatched from the fire. That's what salvation is. People say, saved from what? Saved from the fire. Listen, you're going to have to stand before the Lord. He's either going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, get behind me. Get away from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. He's gonna say one or the other. And if you're awake at all spiritually right now, you ought to have a little bit of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of salvation. We have to fear the Lord. We have to turn from our own wickedness. We have to see that the Lord is real. Father, I want to pray right now. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me right now? Would you ask the Lord to come into your heart, forgive your sins? Would you really agree with the thief, the goneth, that yes, as for us, we deserve to die? Disagree with that other goneth, that one that's mocking Yeshua and scoffing, and he's just running out the clock. He could care less. He's not looking at Yeshua except to spit on him if he could. Don't agree with him, because we know where he's going. Agree with the penitent one, the one that feels bad, who says, we deserve all that stealing I did, all that God of stealing that I did. It got me to this place. It got me here on this tree, hanging here, and I deserve it. I deserve death. I deserve to die. And the second death in the lake of fire, I even deserve that. Will you agree with the Bible on that? Because if you will, here's what Yeshua will say. He will say, today, you who think you deserve to go to the lake of fire, today you will be with me in paradise. That's what he will say. Hallelujah. And then he will say to you, now that you've been saved, what you've got to do is feed my lambs. You've got to go and tell others. Yes, go and tell them. Go and tell them, just like that rich man said, please go and tell my family. Yes, we've got to do it. Because some will turn to the Lord. But this good news has to be preached to every creature. And then the end will come. Father, I want to pray right now. Would you pray with me? Just pray this prayer. Father, say it with me. Father, thank you for Yeshua. I deserve to die. I deserve the lake of fire. I'm a sinner. I agree with the thief, the God up on the tree, that I deserve this, but not you, Yeshua. You don't deserve it. When you said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You were experiencing hell for me, not for you, for me. You didn't deserve it, but I did. Yeshua, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Take control of my life, and I will follow you through the mikvah and in the kehilah and all the days of my life, telling everyone what everyone should know, that Yeshua saves from the lake of fire. Amen.
Amen.